So we're going to talk about the top slang word in each state. Now, Dan, you know, we love talking about slang and jargon and phrases and things like that
mm-hmm.
on the show. It's always a lot of fun. And one of the things, there was an article that we had like last week that was a supper versus dinner. And the headline reads, "Is there a difference?" So now, are you a supper family or a dinner family?
We are a dinner family.
Dinner family. I come from a supper family. Like my mom, well, it's just the three of us, but it was always supper. I say dinner now on my own. But I think when we would go out to a restaurant, that would be dinner.
Mm.
I think that was the
interesting.
I think that was the difference. Like, we're going out to dinner. We never went. We're going to go out for supper. Supper was always at home.
Right. I can see that. Homemade meal versus a...
Yeah. So, but my parents still say supper. My mom still says it. My mom also still says warsh instead of wash. but the supper versus dinner thing, is there a difference? A linguist might be able to guess the general region you're from based solely on what you call your evening meal. But as an article from Wide Open Eats explains, it isn't a matter of dialect. Dinner and supper really do mean different things, or at least they used to. Historically, the word dinner was associated with the largest meal of the day, regardless of whether it was served in the morning, afternoon, or evening. The term comes from non-classical Latin word disgenjuare, which is defined as breaking a fast. Supper, on the other hand, is more time-specific. It stems from the old French word super, and that's S-O-U-P-E-R, meaning an evening meal, and it's generally lighter than other meals served throughout the day. In other words, supper and dinner, they have more to do with the quantity of the food that's served than the time of day that you feast on them. Well, that's interesting. In the 1800s and perhaps even earlier, Americans in some rural regions started calling their midday meal dinner, while supper was reserved for the evening meal. This had more to do with occupation and location. In parts of the South and Midwest, where farmers needed ample fuel to get them through the day, the midday meal was larger, hence the use of the term dinner. In the evening, supper typically involved the lights. Wow, this is really opening up for me, because my mom grew up on a farm in southern Illinois. So that's clearly, I think that's clearly where it can be traced.
Yeah, and that's funny, because when I was at Bradley in Peoria, typically the people who said supper were from southern Illinois,
yeah.
And the people who were from north or from Chicago said dinner.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I mean, a lot of the terms, because it's cool, because, you know, I don't know whether that has anything to do with why my mom still says warsh. If that's a southern, you know, because if she did grow up on a farm. She grew up on a farm in southern Illinois. So I think that's where supper comes from. That's why we started saying supper. In parts of the South and Midwest, we got that part already. There is still the norm. It's still the norm in some parts of the U.S. As Wide Open Eats discovered through Google Trends, a search for supper is most common in Wisconsin, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. Well, those are around us. This is also the case in parts of the South. If you grew up in the South post-colonial era, however, chances are your association with words that have to do with colloquial etymology rather than the time that you sat down to eat. For example, you probably heard supper's ready just before mama and grandma placed a table full of delicious dishes before you. However, supper is seldom used anymore, especially among younger generations, and dinner is by far the more popular term nationwide.
Be interesting to find out if your dad used dinner before she met your mom. You met your mom.
Yeah, it would. I don't know that. I would have to ask and find out. But I think that's pretty interesting that that's where it comes from. So, and it's still supper. It was always supper when I was a kid, when I was growing up. It was supper. I'm trying to remember. You know, because I would go over to a friend's house and have food with them, and I'm trying to remember whether or not I think pretty much everybody else would say dinner. But I do come from an older. I mean, I'm older than you guys, so now I don't know if, you know, someone born in the '60s, supper was a more common term that was used, like maybe in the late '60s and early '70s, which was when I was, you know, mainly a kid. But yeah, so. Well, that brings me to, like, using, and by the way, anybody else out there say supper? Is it a thing? Was it a thing when you were growing up? And this is, you know, we love talking about, like I said, terms and slang, and we're going to get to more slang terms from different states here in America and talk about who says what, where, and what it means. But supper or dinner, 312-981-7200, and maybe other terms that maybe are exclusive to your family or the region that you live in. So 312-981-7200 for talk and text if you want to text in your thoughts on supper or dinner or other slang terms or pieces of jargon that were closely associated with your family or where maybe you grew up or where you're from. So 312-981-7200. Okay, so we've got the top slang words in each state. And here's how we go about this. There's a minute, and then there's a hot minute, defined as a longish amount of time. This unit of time is familiar to people from Alabama, but it may stir up confusion beyond that state's borders. In Louisiana, though, you feel most misunderstood, according to the results of a survey regarding personal slang by PlayNJ. Of the Louisiana residents surveyed, 72% said their fellow Americans from other states, even neighboring states, have a hard time grasping their lingo. Some learned the hard way that ordering a burger dressed with lettuce, tomato, pickles, and mayo isn't universally understood, nor is the phrase to pass a good time instead of to have a good time. After surveying 2,000 people, PlayNJ created a map showing the top slang word for each state. Many are words that are unlikely to be understood beyond state lines, but others, like California's bomb, something you really like, New York's dead ass, to be completely serious, what that means? Dead ass? That's complete, to be completely serious? I'm dead ass. They have spread well beyond their respective borders thanks to memes and internet culture. Hawaiians are also known for their distinctive slang words, with 71% reporting that words like shaka, which is hello, and poho, which is waste of time, are frequently understood. Shark bait, one of the state's more colorful terms, refers to tourists who are so pale that they attract sharks. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. All right, so I've got the list here of the top slang word in each state. And we'll go across the country and talk about these and what they mean to that state. And I want to hear from you guys about... And Esmeralda, are you a dinner or a supper family?
Dinner.
Yeah.
What are we, 1927?
Well, we were just talking about...
Supper.
I come from a supper family because my mom grew up on a farm in southern Illinois. And I was just reading this article about supper versus dinner. And it said that supper can be traced to, like, southern things and growing up on a farm.
It sounds so fancy.
Supper?
Yes.
Oh.
Some supper.
I think supper sounds...
I think dinner.
I think dinner sounds fancier than supper. I think supper sounds more, you know, rural.
Supper to me sounds very fancy. And when I think of, like, supper clubs, I'm like, oh.
Well, yeah, supper club. Well, see, that's another thing, the whole supper club thing. But, yeah. So we've got other terms that we're going to get to. Yeah. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines and get your text on regional slang and supper or dinner. 312-981-7200. One of my favorite Cream songs. It's Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. That is three songs, one artist. 312-981-7200. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin. That's Cream with Badge. Here on WGN. How's it going, everybody? Nick DiGilio here, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We are going to talk about classic movie lines that we often misquote and our favorite movie lines that are quoted all the time in your house and your friends and all that stuff. We have Skip Skipley's on the way in the sub. He's on the way, and we've got another round of our great fun music trivia 80s, 90s game for the record. That'll be coming up. But right now we're talking about regional slang and terms that are used. We were talking about supper or dinner. I happen to come from my folks and I would always refer to it as supper. And I figured out that we traced that back probably to where my mom grew up, which was southern Illinois on a farm. And in the article that we were reading about supper versus dinner, it can be the word supper was used a lot on the farm. And it meant a different kind of meal than dinner, as we were talking about. But, yeah, so we've got some text coming in. It's 312-981-7200 is the phone number, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we have the top slang word for each state, and we'll go through the map and tell you what they are. And some of them are really weird, although we were thinking of them weird. But, you know, Let's see. 708 area code. Dinner was on Sunday afternoon at grandma's. Supper was the rest of the week. I grew up in Chicago and it was supper, and I was born in 1955. That's interesting. Oh, this is a good one. 708 area code. Text this one in. Sofa, Davenport, or couch? Dan?
Couch.
You say couch, Esmeralda?
Couch.
I say couch as well.
Wait, sofa to me is like the nicer one. You know, the one you have in the front room.
In the front room?
In the front room.
So if you're sitting on a sofa having supper, you are the fanciest person in the world, right?
That would be so wrong. You get the sofa dirty. So uncouth.
The sofa is where you sit and have the conversation before you go to have supper. Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. like...
Right? Did you guys ever have a room that you weren't allowed to go into?
Oh, yeah.
Like it was furnished and everything, but yeah. You're like, no, you can't go in there.
There's still in my parents' house.
Oh, is that...
There's still a room like that. It's so nice. And my mom is actually, as I got older, she was like, why don't you take your friends in there and talk? And I'm like... But the furniture is all like far away.
Yeah.
And you feel real uncomfortable on it. I'm like, yeah. No.
We had a front room that my mom would, you know, she had like the fancy furniture was in there and stuff. And that lasted for about, I don't know, 8-9 years. And then she just was like, all right, let's just get a different couch in there and put the TV in that room. And
oh, no, we still have ours.
Do you?
My dog used to pee in there all the time because they had an oriental rug.
Yeah.
So I just assumed that he thought because it was green.
Oh, no.
Green and flowers. I thought maybe he thought it was outside. And he just doesn't know any better.
Oh, man. Well, we had, over the years that we lived where I grew up, the apartment that we lived in over on Addison, that was a really big apartment. And we had gone through some pets. We had a couple of dogs and a cat. And, you know, so there was a fence that was put up. There was like a, you know, a little fence that was put up so that you could, just so the animals would not go in there.
Oh, see, never thought to do that.
Yeah.
It was probably like
one of those folding fences, you know, that you pull across.
Yeah, like a baby gate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We had one of those to keep the animals out. Of course, the cat kept getting in.
Right.
Because the cats will get in there. They'll somehow get in.
Well, they jump.
They jump. Or they can squeeze through the little, you know, the little triangle shaped.
Or they just knock it over.
Yeah. They don't care because they're cats. They're like, no, sorry, but this is my house. You guys just happen to live here. You are here to serve me. I am a cat. Now, go scoop some crap out of my litter and shut up and feed me later.
Yeah, the cat was probably like, why did you put this fence up to my room?
Yeah, this is my front room, not yours. Hey, by the way, I saw on Facebook, your little cat had a little thing. What happened?
Yeah,
what happened to Smokey?
She is a little. That sounds terrible. like, what happened to her? I ate her. No, tough times around here.
Yeah.
No, she has a she had a growth on her underside.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the vet take care of it.
Yeah.
So she has to wear a T-shirt I bought.
Because
at the dollar store.
So she's wrapped in a T-shirt so she doesn't chew on the...
Right, so she doesn't lick the cut.
Yeah.
Or the whatever.
The wound or whatever.
Yeah. So she has to wear a tank top for
so now, because you said she's not good with cones, right? You can put a cone around
her
head.
She just knocks it off.
Yeah, that's not going to work. With a cat.
I put a T-shirt on her. I was looking for a onesie, but I couldn't find one big enough.
Is she okay, though? Man, otherwise?
Yeah, she's fine.
She's fine. She's eating. Everything's cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
She's just probably sore and in pain.
Yeah. It was an interesting picture, I have to say, that was posted. V posted the picture of Smokey like wrapped in a T-shirt, and I was like, what the hell happened to the cat?
Yeah. We were hoping to find a onesie, but we couldn't get one.
It didn't work. Well, speedy recovery to Smokey, then.
Thank you.
Jay says, I'm from Kenosha and a working class family. Supper was always at night after 5 p.m. when Dad got home. Dinner was on a Sunday. It was formal. Supper was a casserole. Dinner was something more involved, like a ham or a turkey. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's kind of what I thought, too. You know what I mean? That's kind of, I think that was the definition I always had when I was growing up, because we always had supper when my dad got home from work. And then Sundays were different. I don't remember if we ever referred to it as dinner on Sunday. I'm not sure. 224 area code says, in the East, it's sneakers. In the West, it's tennis shoes. And in Chicago, it's gym shoes. Is that the breakdown? Really? Tennis shoes in the West, sneakers in the East? Sneakers, I think, is an East Coast. I would agree with that. I've always said gym shoes. I've always said gym shoes. Dan, what about you?
Always gym shoes.
Esmeralda?
I think gym shoes. Yeah.
Always said gym shoes. I've never said sneakers, never said tennis shoes. Who the hell? Why? Tennis shoes? As far as I'm concerned right now, I'm wearing gym shoes. My Converse, my Chucks, my high tops are gym shoes. So. All right. So we've got all the slang words from each state. And again, some of these are weird because there are a lot of weirdos in this country. So 312-981-7200. Of course, the classic one that always comes up is pop. I mean, that's one of my favorites of all time because we say pop here in the Midwest or in Chicago for sure. I've always said pop, never said soda ever. But it's soda elsewhere, and in the South, it's Coke. That's my favorite. In the South, you go, I'll have a Coke, and they'll go, what kind? And you say 7-Up. Every form of a pop or a soda is Coke. Like you, and then they ask you what kind of Coke you want. I'll take a Dr. Pepper. It's pretty cool, I think. That's one of my favorite little tidbits of it. All right, we're talking slang words, and what do you guys think? 312-981-7200, and we got the news coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Hey, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday! Continues. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin. That's his third song of Cream, and that is Sunshine of Your Love. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're going to be talking about famous movie quotes and lines that we've gotten wrong over the past years. And what are your favorite quotes and movie lines that you repeat all the time? Right now, though, we're talking about some slang. And the conversation started with whether you say supper or dinner. And we were talking about where the origin, how you can trace supper back and what dinner meant at one time. And they both had different meanings, really. And we talked a little bit about that. And I have the top slang words for each state in the country. So here's in Washington, a couple of terms that are exclusive to Washington. Pre-funk. P-R-E-F-U-N-K. Pre-funk. Esmeralda, any idea what that is?
The time before you feel terrible?
No. It's abbreviated from pre-function and is drinking before attending an event.
Oh. So,
let's pre-funk before the meeting.
We call it
pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming, yeah.
Pre-gaming, yeah. Pre-funk.
Pre-funk. Okay.
The mountains are out. That's when the weather is clear to the point that you can see the mountains clearly. So that you would say the mountains are out. That's in Washington. Hey, the mountains are out. Oh, all right. I could see that being misconstrued as a very rude comment. How about Oregon? This is where my second ex-wife now lives. So maybe she says this stuff. I don't know. Hood. What do you think hood means?
Neighborhood?
That's what I think is what you would say. But in Oregon, if you are going to hood, it means that you'll be scaling the state's tallest mountain. Hey, we're going to hood. And then elephant ears.
That food?
Yeah, other states refer to this as doughboys or fried dough. And Oregon's term is something of a red herring for non-meat eaters. Oh, yeah, why don't you eat some elephant ears? California. Skeevy. Well, that's not just a California term, right?
It's like creepy?
Yeah, it's like if something's disreputable or untrustworthy is what they say. You say skeevy.
Yeah, I've used that.
I don't think that's a specific California. Maybe that's where it came from. That's where it started. Hey, did you know, Dan, one of my favorite words of all time, and I found out that it wasn't originated in Chicago. I can't say it on the air, but it's a word that David Mamet uses quite frequently. Well, he uses a lot of words we can't say on the air very frequently in the stuff that he writes. But this is it's my favorite word of all time, and I can't say it on the air. But you know that TV series that stars Catherine Bell that. You know, that Ron Santo loves so much. You know that show.
Featuring Larry Jagg.
Right. Okay, you know that first part of that word?
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite of on? What's the opposite of on? Right. So put those two words together.
Although you misspoke there. It's the second part of the word.
It's just, what did I say? The second part of the
you
word.
You said the first part. Because it would be Larry off then.
No. I'm sorry. The first part of the word is the TV show featuring Larry Jack. The second part of the word is the opposite of on. Put those together. It's my favorite word ever. Like, truly my favorite word ever. And my friends and I use it all the time when we're amongst ourselves. And I put it in, I made sure that word was in every play that I directed.
You can't say that?
No, we can't say that.
I don't know. There's like other stuff that I feel we've said where I'm like,
well. Yeah, well, no, I've heard Patty say it on the air, but I don't think we can. I don't know, maybe if only she can say it, but I'm too scared to say it. It's a swear word where I come from. So it's the TV show with Larry Jag. And then the opposite of on. And it's the best word ever. But I absolutely, for years, thought it was a Chicago term. Because it's, you know, if you say that word someplace else, people are going to go, what does that mean? You know? And I thought for years it was a Chicago term until my friends from Pittsburgh went, no, dude, that comes from Pittsburgh. And then, Dan, look it up. It'll say it's a Pittsburgh word, but I don't know how it came here. But I associate it more with Chicago. And maybe that has everything to do with David Mamet. I don't know. But it's a term that I've heard ever since I was a little kid.
And according to Barbara Johnstone, professor of English and linguistics at Carnegie Mellon, which is in Pittsburgh,
yeah,
the term has its roots in the northern British Isles, an area that supplied many immigrants to Pittsburgh. It's a variety derived from the verb to, which means to prick or poke, Johnstone said, among local Pittsburghers. I didn't know they were Pittsburghers. Nobody thinks of these derivative terms as obscene, though non-local fellow Americans often mishear as the more offensive term. Well, can't go further for that one either.
Yeah, but see, Pittsburgh, and I was under the impression I just found out about this a few years ago. So I was in my 40s when I found out it was a Pittsburgh term, and I was like, wait, everything changed. Like, my entire outlook on life changed, because I thought that was like an exclusive Chicago term. And because, you know, if you say it someplace else, people go, what is that? Because I've done that. I've been outside of Chicago and I've been outside of Illinois and of course said that word because it's part of my daily routine is to say that word. People go, huh? And I had no idea until I got three friends who are from Pittsburgh, and I posted something on my Facebook page, or somebody posted something about Pittsburgh. You know, that word's from Pittsburgh. And I was like, no, it's not. It's a Chicago term. And then all my Pittsburgh friends came out of the woodwork and went, dude, it's a Pittsburgh term. And I'm like, no. Well, we own it, though. It may have originated in Pittsburgh, but Chicago owns that word. I love that. It's the best, man. It's the best. And I'm not kidding when it shows up in every play that I've ever done. I put that word at least once. I mean, in Alive, we said it every 5 seconds. And in Here Comes a Regular, because both of those are about like six guys in a bar, you know, drinking. And so it's every 5 seconds that word was said. But yeah, the origin is Pittsburgh. That makes me sad. I was like, huh? Marty says, I wonder why they call them frozen TV dinners versus TV supper. that's an interesting one right there. People don't refer to them as TV dinners anymore, do they? Because it was a thing in the 50s when they first came out. You would get your TV tray and you'd get your frozen dinner, and it was TV dinner because you'd eat them while watching TV.
I would still call it TV dinner.
Do you?
Yeah,
I would too. I'm trying to think, like, what would you call it?
I call it frozen dinner.
I
cut the TV out of it. I don't know why. 773 says, I'm from Chicago and I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison. They said breakfast, dinner, and supper. I said breakfast, lunch, and dinner. My roommate and I missed each other once because of it. She said, let's meet for dinner. So I thought she meant 6 o'clock, not 12 p.m. lunch. And they also call a water fountain a bubbler. Yeah, there's specific places call it a bubbler. Speaking of bubblers, you know there was this episode of Quincy. that it's the only episode that both Patty Vasquez and I remember. It involves a bubbler. 331 area code. I'm 61 years old. I grew up in northern Minnesota. Everyone called the evening meal supper back then, and lunch was dinner. This is really interesting. I've never referred to dinner as lunch. It's always been lunch.
Yeah, that is weird.
It is strange. But, I mean, that's, and also in the article that I was reading, Esmeralda, you stepped away for a little bit. I was reading the article about supper versus dinner, and that's, dinner was referred to as lunch most of the time. I've never heard that before.
See, if you go to Mexico, they kind of have weird, they don't have breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Yeah, you get to sleep in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That's the thing I like.
But they have, like, you know, the breakfast isn't really like a big breakfast, and lunch is a little earlier, and dinner is pretty early. It's like 5, and then after that, you just have like a little snack.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a weird thing, because when I remember the first few times as a older, when I was over there, I was like, 8 o'clock, and I'm like, dinner, anybody? And they're like, we already ate. What are you talking about? I'm like, what? That was lunch.
That's cool. 847 area code says living room, front room, or front room. Front room. It's Chicago, man. 630 area code. My folks from Rhode Island and I. My folks are from Rhode Island. I was born in Chicago in 1944. Supper was every day except Sunday at 6 p.m. On Sunday, it was dinner at 3 p.m., and supper was at 7. Well, that's like that. It's like we're talking about. Dinner was the early meal. Supper was the late meal. 708 area code says, hey, Nick, I grew up with supper, too. Mom and Dad are from Decatur, but we would have Sunday dinner because that was fancier. Trucker Jamie says it's tennis shoes in West Central Ohio. 224 says I'm from Pleasant Prairie and we call them tennis shoes or tennies.
See, in Spanish, I call them tennies.
You call them tennies?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where does that, what is it? Is that where it's derived from?
Well, I don't know.
So when you're speaking Spanish, when you refer to those kind of shoes, you say tennies.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I think that's also, I say soda, and I think it's because in Spanish you say soda.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that, stuck to saying
sure.
Soda.
Sure. I mean, if you live in a, if you grew up bilingual, I bet a lot of that sneaks in. You know what I mean? I bet, absolutely. I didn't never even thought about that before, because I can barely speak one language. I have a hard time enough with English. I don't want to complicate things.
One of my favorites is the Brits say trainers.
Yes, they do. They say trainers.
I like that better.
I do too. Right?
I do too. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And we can't say it because then we just sound like posers.
Exactly. We sound like, you know what you sound like on that? You sound like that TV show and the opposite of off. That's what you, or the opposite of on. Sorry. All right. Let's take a break. And we got more states and the slang terms that where they come from and the definition of that kind of stuff. I always have a lot of fun talking about this. And we want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Talk and text. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So, can you guys guess what I think of every time I hear this song? Esmeralda, can you guess what I think of when I hear this song?
Murder.
Well, you talking about the theory that it was about him watching some guy drown?
Right.
Right. What happened? Urban legend. Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
So the urban legend of that, but you don't know. I think of Risky Business, the train scene.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was a movie thing.
Of course it was a movie thing. What else is it going to be? So, Triple Play Thursday continues. And Bill wants to hear some Phil Collins, so that's Phil Collins within the air tonight. We have been talking about some slang, from different states and also supper / dinner, and learning all kinds of history lessons about supper and dinner. And here is Glenn on WGN. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
All right.
If they have one word that you're afraid to say on the radio, I always associate that with maybe somebody that's a complete idiot or moron.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's what.
But the dinner thing, I don't know, I guess it's a regional thing, but I always thought that if you ate lunch late, like 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that'd be dinner, and then supper would be like 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Wow, okay.
But maybe that's, you know, maybe if you're rich, that's the way they eat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you can never, I guess you can never eat lunch and dinner unless you're real big.
yeah.
Or,
but that's interesting. What you're saying, Glenn, is, I mean, it's kind of consistent with what we've been getting feedback from and what we read about, is that this supper was late and dinner was kind of lunch. So,
and where does snack come in? Who has time for a snack?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn.
All right. Have a good one. Have a nice morning.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Get another text here. 224 area code says, I will say I have to deposit my money in the bank. My ex would say I have to deposit my monies, M-O-N-I-E-S. Do you say money or monies? I say money.
I say monies.
You say monies? Like Tommy James?
Every once in a while.
Do you say monies or money, Dan? I mean, and I know
money.
I know in the business world, monies is used, you know, and like in contracts and stuff, you know, that's the term that they use. But
it's more joking.
Yeah.
I don't legitimately say monies.
No, I don't either.
This would be a perfect segue to one of your favorite ones involving an ATM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dobie Maxwell is a stand-up comedian who I had the pleasure of opening for a couple of times at Zany's. And he's got a bit where he talks about regional things. And he is from Wisconsin. And in Wisconsin, they call an ATM a time machine, because the company that made the company that made the machines, predominantly most of the machines that were in that region, was Time, and it was T-Y-M-E. So he said when he first came to Chicago, he went up to somebody and said, "Hey, where's the nearest time machine?" And the response was always, "Well, I don't know, Doc Brown. Why don't you check your DeLorean?" And he's like, "No, it's a time. I just want to get some money. I need to get to the time machine." And he's trying to explain. So it's T-Y-M-E. I think that's great. I love that one. Hey, where's the nearest time machine? I got to get money. Oh, does that mean you had money in the past and you have to go back and get it? All right, how about this one? In Idaho, the potato drop. We talked about this one before, the potato drop. This is what they do on New Year's Eve. They drop the potato. How about Smurf Turf? This is also in Idaho. Smurf Turf. That's Albertson Stadium is the athletic stadium for Boise State University. The name refers to the blue color of the pitch. Smurf Turf. Oh, it's blue because it's a Smurf. Yeah, that makes sense.
They actually had to add reflectors to the field because for a short period of time, birds were diving headfirst into the field thinking it was late.
Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible.
Come on, birds.
Well, I mean, you're 100 feet in air. You don't know.
Yeah. Like, hey, that looks like water. Bam. I always wonder, you know, I've seen footage of birds, you know, like domesticated bird or whatever that is, domestically, like parrots and stuff that people have in their house. Like they let them fly around a little bit, stretch out their wings. And there was footage that I've seen, not just once, but where birds just fly right into mirrors. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, you thought that there was another bird. Why the hell did you fly right into it?
Because they're going to attack. There can only be one bird in this house.
That's right. Jerry Seinfeld has a routine that's similar to that, that says, you know, there was a time in the 70s when people would put up full length mirrors on their in there to make it look like the room was bigger.
I mean, I still get fooled when I go to places and they have that.
Yeah.
Because I go looking into it like it's another room. Like, oh, no, that's a mirror.
You know, okay. What's really fun now here is that everything is glass in these offices. Like our offices are sliding door glass. And I'm waiting for people to just bounce off these. Has it been reported, like, during the day, do people bounce off the glass? There's a lot of glass in these offices.
There is a lot of glass. That's why they wrote the notes there.
Yeah, though. They wrote notes on the way.
And there's tape on the windows.
Right, there's tape on a couple of the windows because you could walk right in and think it's, oh, yeah, that's another hallway. Bang. I think it's cool. Didn't they report that at the Apple store, right where we're used to, right by where we used to work? There's an Apple store, and everything is glass. There's glass everywhere from floor to ceiling, glass doors, and at the Apple store, Esmeralda, right? The even the geniuses were bouncing off them.
Bouncing
off the glass. yeah. All right. Let's try this. Nevada, long hauled. This is Las Vegas slang describing the practice of taxi drivers taking you on a longer route than necessary and then overcharging you. You get long hauled. That's pretty cool. And then in Nevada, whales. Whales are the high-rolling gamblers who will play a $100,000 roll of the dice without any concern. Wow, they're called whales? Okay. In Montana, you got Cowboy Up, an instruction to deal with a situation in a mature or adult fashion. Well, Cowboy Up, we have Man Up, right? Man Up! Rocky Mountain Oysters, we know that. That's not exclusive to Montana. Everybody has fried testicles. What am I looking at? Oh, here's a, you mean the phone call there? Okay, thank you, Dan. Bill is on WGN. Hey, Bill.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Hey.
I grew up playing baseball, my friends and brother and everything, and we would always say, hey, you want to go play catch?
Yeah.
I never heard the term have a catch until I saw Field of Dreams.
Right, right.
And that was such a, it sounded so phony to me. I've yet to watch the complete movie, Field of Dreams.
Well, that,
and I love baseball.
Okay, you've never watched the, what does that mean? You didn't see the final credits? Because that line is like, that's that line right at the end of the movie.
I watched it because I love baseball. Like, yeah. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Natural. Like, I like that.
Yeah,
very whimsical, and yeah, I enjoy that. But Field of Dreams, that's such a turnoff to me, it almost puts it in the same category as Fear Strikes Out.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Wow, Bill. Okay, thanks, Bill. Jeez. Now, I don't say have a catch. You want to play catch is what I say. But that's a regional thing, I think, to have a catch. It's said. It's not unusual. How could you not? I mean, that's so funny. I couldn't watch the whole movie. That's like the last line in the movie. Isn't that the last line in the movie?
Well, it's not quite the last line, but I it took me out of the moment the first time I saw it because
really?
I was sobbing, and then I'm like, wait, what?
No, it's not the last line in the movie because they continue talking, and he says, is this heaven? And he says, yes, it is. And then you see the car lights and everything. I love that movie. It doesn't take me out at all. That movie destroys me every time I see it. I cry like a baby at the end of that movie. But I never say have a catch. All right, we got a break. News is coming up next. Romantic Phil Collins. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. 312-981-7200. Bill, we're requesting Phil Collins One More Night. Dan, you were too young when No Jacket Required came out. You were just a kid. But that album was massive. Phil Collins was everywhere. Now, I hope Bill's final request involves Philip Bailey. That would make me very happy, but I don't think so.
We shall see.
Okay. Because that song is a jam. All right. We've got some slang terms that we're talking about for different places. Let's see. Here's Wyoming. Couple 2-3. Primarily used in the Wyoming Valley, the phrase means a few. Couple 2-3. Greeny is a derogatory word that Wyoming natives use to describe Colorado tourists, as Colorado license plates are the color are green in color. So Wyoming making fun of Colorado people and calling them greenies. Greenies is a treat for cats. That's the only greenie that I know. About in Utah, slough, S-L-U-F-F, that's a synonym for ditch when referring to something you want to skip, like a class or an event. Slough, I've never heard that before. How about this one, biffed? What do you think biffed means, Esmeralda, in Utah?
That's when you fell.
Exactly right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I use that.
Do you? Used to describe falling down, tripping, or doing anything completely embarrassing, because that's your favorite thing to see, too.
Yeah.
People biffing.
No, but that's how I describe it. I was like, yeah, I biffed on that sidewalk.
Yeah. No, I've heard that many times. When I was a kid or a teenager, biff was when if you smack somebody on the back of the head, that was a biff. You get biffed. You boom, smack him on the back of the head. That's a biff.
Now that's a misdemeanor.
Hello, wait a minute. Hold on a minute now. Arizona, Chizhi. C-H-I-Z-H-I-I. Chizhi? The adjective literally means something is similar in texture to firewood and is typically referred to as rough or dry skin. Where does that come from? Let's see. Colorado, gaper is a derogatory term for a novice skier. Well, how come they don't have a derogatory term for Wyoming, for people from Wyoming? Colorado Kool-Aid is a joke term given to their native brute Coors. That's fantastic. That is great. Colorado Kool-Aid. I've never heard that before. That's really good. New Mexico, Christmas is a term, Esmeralda. Do you know it?
No.
It's the way in which you want your chili sauce. Red and green combination is called Christmas. That means you want it both ways.
Oh.
That's pretty cool. How about a portal? It's a covered back porch or front porch in a New Mexican household. That's a portal. Let's go hang out on the portal. I like that. North Dakota, Dak Rat, D-A-K-R-A-T. A Dak Rat is Richardson's ground squirrel, a rodent native to the state of North Dakota. So the ground, it's a ground squirrel. Sundog. Oh, this one, is this just North? That's not, can't be just North Dakota. A sundog is a natural phenomenon where a ring of light and a few beams surround the sun. You've heard that, right? I mean, that's, Dan, you've heard sundog, right?
No, I've never heard it before.
Oh, really? Esmeralda, have you heard sundog to describe that phenomenon of the rays around the sun?
It sounds familiar, but I'm not sure.
I think, you know what, you know why I think it had to be in a movie. That's the only explanation.
Probably.
It had to be in a movie, and that's where I got it from. I get most of my intelligence from movies, which explains why I'm so dumb. South Dakota, pert near. Is that, I've heard that before. I thought that was South Dakota. I don't know. It's a contracted of pretty near, means it's like almost, and it refers to distances. That's pert near. Hot dish. That's a casserole. I've heard that before. Have you ever heard that one, Esmeralda? It's like a wholesome dinner, a casserole. Do you call it a hot dish? One word? In Nebraska, what do you think a red beer is?
A root beer.
Nope, it's beer with tomato juice.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes also with a shot of hot sauce. So that is, you have that along with your Bloody Mary. That's it's like,
I was going to say, that's a Michelada.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is, yeah. All right, in Kansas, yums. It's common for people to post online pictures of their food with the tag and tag them as yums.
Oh, I just thought that was something teenage girls would say. So yums.
All right, hang on a second. Wait a second. Did we really seriously? Here's John on WGN. Hey, John.
Hey, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's going on? Where did I hear sundog from?
Des Hunt with Charles Bronson.
And Lee Marvin.
Sundog with the backfellow's name.
Uh-oh.
I can't think of his name. I'm black myself.
Yeah, Lee Marvin and Charles Bronson in Death Hunt.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Okay. All right, John, thanks.
You're welcome.
We actually had someone call in and let us know that the term sundog was used in a Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin movie from the late 70s, early 80s. Death Hunt. By the way, that movie rules, if you've never seen it. You put Charles Bronson, Lee Marvin in the same movie, it's going to kick ass. And use the term sundog, and you learn something.
He's a Mountie in the movie? Lee Marvin's a Mountie?
Yeah, he's like, they're hunting down Charles Bronson. And that's why it's a death hunt. Are you looking? Did you look up Death Hunt?
I'm reading the wiki thing.
Who's the director of that movie? I can't remember who directed it. It's
Peter R. Hunt.
Oh, yeah, Peter Hunt. Yeah, he directed Death Hunt. Peter Hunt. That's what you have to have the last name Hunt. It's a great movie. All right, let's see. Here's Kevin on WGN. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Hey, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
Say, I was born and raised in southern Minnesota. Mom and dad raised in southern Minnesota on a farm. And the way they always told me the breakfast, dinner, lunch thing, it was a big breakfast in the morning on the farm. They'd go out to the field and do their work. And then at some point about mid-morning, grandma would come out with some sandwiches and maybe some Kool-Aid, and they'd have a little lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Then at noon, they'd go in and they'd have their big meal of the day. That was dinner. Then they'd go back out in the field and work off that big meal, and then maybe go back to the barn, do some chores, and then come in at night and have supper.
Yeah, and that's what that's what we've been talking about and hearing many times. And I have to ask my mom if that was the case, because my mom grew up on a farm, and I would imagine that that's what would happen with my mom then.
Yeah, now when I was raised in the city by mom and dad, who were farm kids, it was breakfast, lunch, and supper.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we would have, you know, dinner.
Got it.
Big dinner.
Yeah.
Or if we went out to eat, it would be going out to dinner. You know, that was considered the big meal or the fancy meal.
Right, exactly. So. Okay. All right, Kevin, I'm the same. Take care. Bye. Yeah. Yeah, so it was breakfast, lunch, supper, and then we would go out to dinner. I'm trying to remember if we called it Sunday dinner. Maybe we did. Maybe on Sunday we didn't have supper and we had dinner. But I know that we would go out to dinner, but at night we would have supper growing up in my house. Here's Sheila on WGN. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things. When I lived in California, I would say I wanted a pop, and everybody would start laughing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? You want to be hit?
Yeah.
And I go, no, I don't want to be hit. I want to drink.
Right.
So that was pretty funny. But one thing they did use frequently was the word overcast. Whenever the sun wasn't out, I would hear overcast about 40 times a day.
Yeah.
But one thing that may be regional to Chicago, I don't know whether it is or not, is that one time I said car note instead of car payment. And everybody thought that was funny, the word note. And I'm wondering, is that regional to Chicago? Do you all say note?
No, I say payment. But at that, I mean, that's an actual term. I mean, you're paying off a note. So, you know, you got a note, you have to pay that off. But I in Chicago, I don't know, I've only heard, like, you make a payment on something. So.
Right. And another thing, I once heard a language expert right there on WGN say that in some parts of the country, they use prepositions at the end of sentences like, where you at? Stuff like that all the time, pretty regularly.
Well, that's a Chicago thing, too. I mean, that's a big Chicago thing. It's like, where are you
is
at?
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I say it all the time. I say it all the time. It's wrong, but I say it all the time. I say it all the time. So, Sheila, thanks for finally calling in. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
There you go.
What was that ad that there used to be for the phone, the cell phones? And it was something like that. It was like, where are you at?
Oh, yeah.
Boost Mobile.
That's what it was, yeah.
Was it where you at?
I think it was where you at, yeah. Which is grammatically incorrect. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to wrap this up and then get to some movie quotes that we're getting wrong. And what are your favorite quotes from movies and movies that you quote from all the time? I'm going to hang on to this list maybe, and we can do some more states some other time because it's fun to talk about this. But I want to get to those movie quotes. By the way, Skip Skipley is, as we speak, submerged. So we'll get to Skip in a For the Record coming up a little bit later on. Well, thank you, Bill. God, I love that song. We ever played that on Fly Jams Friday? We have, haven't we?
Yeah, because Esmeralda hadn't heard it before.
Oh, right. Okay. Phil Collins, it's a triple play Thursday. Yeah! 312-981-7200. And that's Phil Collins and the one and only Philip Bailey. And the massive jam that is Easy Lover. It is such a jam. You know who loved that song, Dan?
Hey, listen.
That's one of the greatest songs ever recorded in the history of music. Philip Bailey. The Earth, Wind, and Fire. And the guy can hit notes that only dogs can hear. That's I love Philip Bailey. The song is a jam. All right. 312-981-7200. We're talking about slang terms, and we got a bunch of texts coming in. And then we're going to get into movie quotes that that are very famous that we get wrong all the time, and then talk about what are the most quotable movies in your world. 312-981-7200. Jerry and Aurora from Pittsburgh in the 60s and 70s. How you doing? All one word. H-I-Y-A-D-O-I-N. How you doing? Did you eat yet? That's one word. Did you eat yet? How yins and yones doing? How yins and yowns doing? Those are all Pittsburgh. Did they speak English in Pittsburgh? I have to ask my Pittsburgh friends if that's how's yins and yowns doing. I don't even know what that means. Um, 847 area code regarding Washington. It's about Mount Rainier. Just one mountain is out, not mountains. Love your show, Nick. Well, I was just reading from the thing. Alan in North Carolina says, in New Orleans, people don't shop for food. They, quote unquote, go make groceries. Go make groceries? Make sure you have your ID if you're going to go make groceries, though. And street medians are called neutral grounds. Jimbo says, a hot dish is a good-looking woman. Oh, okay, Jimbo. Thank you.
That's what I thought of.
That's what you thought of, a good-looking woman?
Yep.
All right. Keith in Kansas said yams must be a millennial invention.
Yams?
Yums. Yums.
Oh, yum.
It says yams here, but I'm assuming he means yums. Yams.
I was like, don't go blaming the millennials on yams.
Wait, no self-respecting Kansan that I associated with would ever utter that word. Brian says, do these weirdos pack their kids' dinner box for school instead of a lunch box? That might be my favorite text so far this morning. Brian referring to the people who use dinner as a lunch term as a bunch of weirdos. Do these weirdos pack their kids' dinner box for school instead of a lunch box? Ugh. 773 area code says, Tom Skilling has described a sundog in a picture that's been sent to him. Oh, yeah, maybe I heard it there, too, because Skilling knows all about sundogs. There's got to be another. I don't think it was Death Hunt. I really think that there was something else where I absolutely knew the term sundog.
There has to be a movie.
It's got it. Well,
it sounds like a movie.
Well,
sundog.
Sundog.
It's about teenagers in California. That's what I imagine. They're skating.
They're sun dogs. Well, they were solar babies. You remember solar babies? That's right.
I do. I've seen parts of that. Yes.
Solar babies. 708 area code says, that can't be right about Wyoming. That's a Chicago Southside term, couple two tree. Yeah, no, that's true. Maybe they say it in Wyoming as well, but it's true. Couple two tree. It's not three, it's tree. Christina says, I requested my friend grab me a buggy at the Jewels and got laughed out of the store. That's what my parents always called a shopping cart. Yes, I did. Now, Dan, have you ever heard buggy?
I have heard buggy, but not often, but I have.
A long time ago. I haven't heard it in a very, very long time. Esmeralda, had you ever heard buggy referred to as a grocery cart? Yeah.
I would be one of those people laughing them out of the store.
Yep. No, it used to be, but I think my mom used to say buggy. That was a term that we used, was get your buggy. And that referred to a grocery cart. And of course, somebody also in that same text mentioned the Jewels. And still, Dan, do people still get mad when I say that?
That most people know by now.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I'll get a call being like, "He knows it's the Jewel, right? Like, there's no S."
I'm
like, yeah, he knows.
Yeah, I worked there for 11 years. I know. But I love that. I love when people like sincerely love it when Chicagoans just absolutely go, "Yeah, I'm going to go to the Jewels." I love it. I think it's great. You know what? I think JoJo would punch me, though. Do you think JoJo would be angry with me if I called it the Jewels?
JoJo loves all man.
I agree. You know, there's a lot of JoJo in our office, Dan. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I've been in it once or twice, yeah.
I can see you don't go into the office very often, our office. But I brought up, I've got a lot of JoJo stuff in the office. And by the way, after this weekend, Dan, there's going to be a lot more pictures.
Oh, yeah.
From Flashback, because I'll be getting a bunch of pictures taken over the weekend. You see, we can hang up the picture of me with five Jasons. That's the...
So how big is the picture of you and Dana going to be?
Oh, it's going to be. You know the wall that's empty?
Yeah.
And we're going to blow that up, put it all on that whole wall. There's going to be more than one. Trust me, there's going to be more
than
one.
I might
spend
more time in the office then.
If there's a picture of Dana blown up, yeah. Are you kidding? Let's do the show from the office if there's a big picture of Dana.
Where's that remote mic, Adam? Why do they need a remote mic every night?
Because there's a big picture of Dana DiLorenzo on the wall in the office, and I don't want to be far from it.
I mean, these are pretty big windows in here, and they're blank right now.
We could plaster Dana's picture up all over.
Just wallpaper.
Just wallpaper Dana. Dana wallpaper. All right. We're going to break for the news when we come back. Movie quotes, we get them wrong, and what about the ones that you and your friends refer to all the time? 312-981-7200.